All right. So welcome to the theory session. Our first speaker will talk about on statistical learning via the lens of compression. So the title has changed than the one from the program. It's joint work by Ophir David, Shai Moran, and Amir Yehud Dayof. And the speaker will be Shai Moran.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for coming for this talk. So I will talk about a joint work with Ophir David and Amir Yudayov from the Technion. And before we start with the talk, I would like to dedicate it to my uncle, Gadi Moran, who died in a terrible accident in the beginning of this year. And Gadi influenced me a lot. He influenced me in choosing to study mathematics. And also, he actually influenced this paper. I had a lot of conversations with him about Ramsey theory in the context of this paper. And as you can see from these pictures, he had a very special life. He lived a very special life. You can see Paul Erdős in the bottom photo, who was a famous mathematician. And above, you can see David Ben-Gurion, who was the first prime minister of Israel. So this is dedicated to Gadi. So let's begin with the machine learning part. So the talk is about statistical learning via the lens of compression. So let's think about the concept of learning as an intuitive day-to-day life concept. And we identify two aspects in it. One is generalization, and generalization is about inferring new knowledge from existing knowledge. And the other aspect, which is kind of dual to it, is simplification. And simplification is about taking existing knowledge and providing simpler explanation to it. Now, these two aspects, they interrelate with each other. Simplification implies generalization and vice versa. For example, an intuitive example, assume we found a simpler proof to a mathematical theorem. So we simplify the proof, but then we actually often notice that the simplified proof assumes less and therefore proves a more general theorem. So simplification implies generalization in this example. And indeed, throughout history, philosophers and scientists noticed these interrelations and coined some famous principles. One of which is Occam razor, which says you should always prefer the simplest consistent theory. Another nice example is Richard Feynman, who had to prepare a lecture about advanced physics. And at some point he said that he cannot reduce this phenomena to a freshman level, and therefore this means that he doesn't understand it. And another one, last example is of Erdős, the same mathematician from the pictures, who used to refer to this fantasy book containing all simplified and insightful proofs of all mathematical theorems. So these are three examples of how in philosophy, in history, this simplification and generalization interrelate with each other. And in some sense, the topic of this work is, can we manifest these relations within machine learning theory? So this is the topic of this work, simplification versus generalization in learning theory. So the plan is to first, we'll give the standard model for generalization. Later, I will suggest a model for simplification, which is sample compression schemes. And then we'll discuss two equivalences. If time allows, I will mention some applications we had to these equivalences. Okay, so let's begin with generalization, which most of you probably know very good. So this is the general setting of learning of Wapnick. So the intuition is that we have a scientist, yes, generalization. We have a scientist, she performs M experiments in her lab, and she wishes to predict the outcome of a future experiment. So the way we quantify, the way we formalize it is there is some hypothesis class, we have an unknown distribution over examples, there is some loss function, and you know the learning algorithm receives as input IID examples from the unknown distribution, and she outputs an hypothesis. Her goal is that the true loss, the expected true loss of the output hypothesis, will compete with the best hypothesis in class. So yeah, so this is more or less the standard setting. The only thing you should notice is that I don't assume anything about the loss function. It can be general. So it can be the 0-1 loss, or it can be the squared loss for regression. By the choice of loss function, you can model many, many types of learning problems. OK, so this is for generalization. Now let's consider the model we choose for simplification, which is sample compression schemes. And this was defined by Nick Littlestone and Manfred Warmuth in 1986. So the intuition now is that we go back to the same scientist from before. She sits in her lab. She performs these M experiments. But her goal now is to find an insightful subset of these experiments, just D experiments, and you should think of D as much smaller than M, in a way that these D experiments will be able to explain the all other experiments. She will be able to predict the outcome of the other experiments that she made using just these D axioms, these simple experiments. Okay, a slightly more technical example is assume there is some unknown polynomial of degree at most D. And as an input, we get M evaluations of this polynomial. So the way we can compress it, we can keep D plus 1 points. And later, we can use these D plus 1 points to reconstruct a polynomial which will be correct, which will agree with the whole training set. So in a way, we don't need to remember this M points. We just need D plus 1 points to encode the unknown polynomial. So what is the formal definition? So again, we have some hypothesis class. And there is, again, some loss function. Notice that here we don't have any distribution. There is no statistics involved. Now, what is a compression scheme of size D? So the input sample, Z1 to Zm, goes to the compressor. And then she picks from it. She carefully picks a subsample of size D. And again, D should be much smaller than M. And she sends it to the reconstructor. Now, the reconstructor outputs an hypothesis based on only what he sees, these D examples. And the goal is that the empirical loss of the hypothesis will be, at most, the empirical loss of the best hypothesis in class. In particular, the hypothesis should behave well also on the examples that were discarded. So the empirical loss is taken with respect to the whole input sample, also with respect to these examples that were not sent to the reconstructor. OK, so we defined the generalization model and the simplification model. Now let's talk about the equivalence. So before we begin with the equivalence, I want to draw your attention that some classical learning algorithms are, in fact, compression schemes. So for instance, in support vector machines, you can view it as a compression scheme in which the compressor picks the D plus 1 support vectors. She sends it to the reconstructor. And the reconstructor, just based on the support vectors, can reconstruct the maximum margin separating hyperplane. So again, the output of the algorithm depends only on D examples, or D plus 1 examples, the support vectors. So this is actually a compression scheme, support vector machines. And the previous works actually used this notion to analyze learning algorithms that are, in fact, compression schemes. And it also found various applications. This is just a partial list. OK, so let's now discuss our contributions. So our first contribution is in the context of the 0-1 loss, namely classification problems, or multi-class categorization. So there could be many, many classes, but the loss is the 0-1 loss. And the result here is that a class is learnable if and only if it has a compression scheme taking a sample of size m to a subsample of size roughly log m. As an open question, we leave whether it is true that any learnable class has a sample compression scheme of a constant size. And we know that if the number of categories is small, is constant, then the answer is yes. So for example, for binary classification, learnability is equivalent to compressibility of a constant size. But we don't know what is the answer for a large number of categories. Okay, and of course, a natural question is whether this equivalence extends to more arbitrary models, for example, regression models with continuous loss functions. And the answer is that not so fast. So for example, for linear regression, there is no non-trivial sample compression scheme. You cannot even compress to less than m over 2. But if we modify the definition of compression scheme just a little bit, then the equivalence extends. So what is an approximate sample compression scheme? So this is basically the same thing like sample compression scheme, only that we allow an epsilon slack to the output hypothesis. So instead that the output hypothesis will be at most, the loss of the output hypothesis will be at most the loss of the best hypothesis, we allow some epsilon error on top of the best one. And now it turns out that the equivalence follows for every problem in the general learning setting of VAPNIC. So this is a very general equivalence. So a class is learnable if and only if it is approximately compressible. Okay. And we also demonstrate several applications of these equivalences. I will be happy to discuss these in more details during the poster session. For now, let me just mention that this equivalence allows us to reduce questions in statistics to questions in combinatorics, and in particular, we were able to use the elegant Ramsey theory in order to prove statements in learning theory, which was quite surprising for us. So let me conclude this talk by mentioning some conclusions of this equivalence. So I think from a practical point of view, it gives a universal guideline for designing learning algorithms, in the sense that every problem that is learnable by a compression algorithm. And the compression algorithm boils down to a very intuitive principle that when you, in the input data, the huge input data, try to focus to understand what is the small subset of it which is important. And as I said, from a theoretical perspective, this also gives a nice connection between statistics and combinatorics or geometry. But I also think that from a didactic point of view, this equivalence can be used. And the reason is that the compression, sample compression schemes are much simpler than learnability, than learning models. There is no distribution. You don't need to know anything about measure theory, about probability theory. It's a very, very simple combinatorial definition. But at the same time, the compressible classes are exactly the learnable classes. So it captures the same mathematical objects with arguably a simpler definition, or at least a definition that relies on less mathematics. About further research, I think it will be interesting to extend this equivalence to other models like interactive learning models or online learning models. But also it will be interesting to find, so now we know that every learning problem can be learned by a compression algorithm. So let's find explicit compression algorithms for problems like regression or neural nets. I think this can also be an interesting goal. Okay, so thank you very much.
We have plenty of time for questions. Can you please walk to the mic if you have a question?
Hi. So I actually have a question on how you're defining generalization in this case. It seems that you're really talking about how well you do on an ERM type solution. But generalization often has to do with what happens if I have a new sample with new data I haven't seen before. So I was wondering if maybe I'm missing an important link there, but it does seem that your compression is really talking about finding the ERM solution. But I don't see how that necessarily gives me a model that's going to do well on data I haven't seen before, which is.
Okay, so first of all, the definition of generalization is not ours, it's Wapnik's. And it doesn't assume any ERM. And the ERM, I mean, the concept of ERM does not really belong to the compression concept. It's just, the compression algorithm should be an ERM, but this is the only thing you have there. There is no distribution. There is only the input sample, and the output should behave approximately like an ERM on the input sample.
It's but sticking with only. I mean, this entire analysis is just on the.
No. You're missing the point.
Yeah.
If you have compression, then you have generalization. The compression is defined only over the sample, but it guarantees generalization to further inputs that you haven't seen, provided they are generated by the same distribution. That's the main point.
So that's the provided the same distribution. So there's still an assumption.
Yes, and moreover, let me say that even in problems that you have no ERM, so that where uniform convergence does not hold, but learnability still holds, then compression holds. So this equivalence between compression and generalization holds even when there is no equivalence between uniform convergence and learnability.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks.